Here's a quick recap of what shows up most clearly in your report right now. This is for you, Anne, a short, spoken version of what your answers are pointing to. The overall feel is of someone who holds a lot together quietly, with real warmth, and who has a clear sense of what steadies you and what costs you. Nothing here is a verdict. It's more like a mirror held up at a useful angle. The kind of picture that's more useful when you let it settle slowly than when you try to act on all of it at once. Let's start with the ground you stand on. You tend to be someone who follows through on what you've committed to, even the boring parts, even when you're tired. When you say you'll do something, it typically gets done. Alongside that reliability, there's a clear pull toward closeness. You express care openly. You notice emotional distance when it shows up. And when something ruptures, you tend to move toward repair rather than away from it. You don't like leaving things open. You also show feelings clearly when something matters. Reactions register fully rather than passing quietly through. That's not a flaw. It's a temperament signal. And it pairs with a steady willingness to speak up when a situation needs direction. For many people around you, that mix of warmth, follow-through, and repair drive is one of the most recognizable things about you. Now, the part that tends to cost you, there's a specific loop your answers point to, and it typically starts with a sudden change to plans you'd already organized around. It isn't the change itself that lands hard. It's the suddenness. Your system reads unknown as stressful quite quickly, and the stress response often arrives before you've even decided how you feel about it.
From there, if you're already a little depleted, overview thins. Things that would normally feel manageable start to feel equally urgent, and the tone you use can tighten without you quite choosing it. And then the second half of the loop. Under that pressure, the benefit of the doubt you usually extend to others narrows. Interpretations of what someone said or did can turn more cautious, more pointed.
That alone might be manageable, except your recovery curve is real. Coming back to baseline often isn't minutes. For bigger moments, it can be a day or two of protected time. So a single sudden change, stacked onto tiredness, can echo longer than the event itself warrants. This isn't about blame. It's a pattern worth recognizing, because naming it is what gives you room to interrupt it. There's a second thread worth naming. Your patience with repetition is low, while your reliability is very high. That combination means you're often doing tasks that quietly cost you more than they cost most people. Not because you can't do them, but because the novelty cost is real every time. From the outside, it can look like nothing. From the inside, a particular kind of fatigue builds. The build tends to come due as irritation rather than as a clear signal. The tasks you normally finish reliably start feeling like they're piling up, and you feel resentful about them rather than just tired. Paired with your strong follow-through, the risk is that you keep absorbing repetitive work out of reliability long after it stopped being sustainable. The gap between what you're doing and what you have capacity for can widen without warning.
So, what helps? A few small experiments worth trying, not all at once. One is a two-step response to unexpected changes. Acknowledge the change, then give yourself 10 minutes before deciding how to respond. Notice whether that small delay changes the quality of your reaction. Another is picking one low-stakes repetitive task and doing it to a good enough standard for a week. If it's shared with others, mention it first
so you're not creating surprise friction.
A third is keeping a short evening note for 7 days. What depleted me today? What refilled me? You're looking for patterns, not solutions. One or two signals usually emerge. And when you catch yourself interpreting something someone said in a pointed way, try writing down three other possible explanations before responding.
Before a predictably intense day, decide in advance what your recovery block will be that evening and protect it like an appointment. Treating recovery as planned rather than as whatever's left over tends to make it actually happen. Alongside those, a few things genuinely refill you. Quiet time you chose yourself rather than collapse at the end of a hard day. A predictable rhythm to the week. Warm, steady contact with the people close to you. Brief reconnecting moments often work as real recovery.
Keep the report nearby as something to dip back into. A reference, not a verdict. The details are there when you want them. For now, one thing at a time is plenty.